With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas, and more, or simply just want to soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder. Or find a featured all-inclusive package to Sunscape Resorts and Spas and do your deal at CheapCaribbean.com. You guys, have you heard about Squarespace? You must have, because I talk about it all the time. Their website has helped me with my businesses, but it will also help you grow your business. And it really does take the guesswork out of building a website. They have so many helpful and amazing tools, product features, and they make it so user-friendly. Now, one of our favorite product features is the Fluid Engine. With Fluid Engine, a next-generation website design system from Squarespace, it's never been easier for anyone to unlock unbreakable creativity. Start with a best-in-class website template and then customize every design detail with reimagined drag-and-drop technology for desktop or mobile. Stretch your imagination online with Fluid Engine, built in and ready to go on any new Squarespace site. Go to squarespace.com/drama for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use offer code DRAMA to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
This summer, own your style with Macy's. Whether packing for a destination vacation or planning a backyard staycation, Macy's has all that you need.
Shop brands like Levi's, Dolce Vita, Lacoste, and more. Macy's has all of your summer must-haves. Summer dresses, matched sets, volume sleeve tops, espadrilles, wedges, straw-crafted bags, bathing suits, and so much more.
Oh my gosh, the free-for-all. Shop at Macy's.com/ownyourstyle.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
First of all, you don't know me.
We're all about that high school drama girl, all about them high school queens. We'll take you for a ride in our comic girl,
drama girl,
cheering for the right team.
Drama queens, drama queens,
smart girl, rough girl, fashion, but you're tough girl, you could sit with us girl.
Drama queens, drama queens, drama queens. Drama, drama queens, drama queens.
Hey, you guys remember when Liquid IV became a sponsor of Drama Queens and sent us a whole bunch of Liquid IV?
Yeah.
Thankfully, I brought a bottle of it with me down to record because I need to hydrate after this episode. It was massive. I loved it. I loved it.
I loved it too.
This was wild.
It was jam-packed. This is maybe the first time that we've done a podcast where I'm concerned we might not have enough time to get to everything.
Yeah. Like,
this was packed.
This episode was wild.
I mean, I loved it. I f***ing love this episode. And you know that's hard for me to say because Voldemort wrote it and directed it. And so it is worth noting that sometimes someone who's truly awful can make fantastic things. And this episode is one of them. It's a f***ing bop, man. I love it.
Yeah, I really did too. Every second.
Every second. And I mean, talk about starting on a high note. Opening on Jackson singing our theme song and then realizing he's singing with Gavin DeGraw, like, I die. My heart exploded and fell onto the floor.
It was a great setup for how the whole episode was gonna go. There was something a little avant-garde about everything. The fact that that was a completely out of time, out of space moment. Gavin and Jamie are never going to meet. That's not a thing that's ever going to happen in the universe of One Tree Hill. Gavin's not even like a character on our show.
Yeah.
So setting it up with that combination that was just had nothing to do with any storyline, but felt so dropped into the heart of our show immediately.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was a great setup.
It was so sweet.
And then into Luke in the bar with the cut, 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 cut.
Yeah. And even Joe the dog.
You know, we just celebrated our 20th anniversary, and of all of the retrospectives that were written about our show, the one, you know, that was in, like, Variety was the craziest things that happened on One Tree Hill. Like, everybody else when their show hits a milestone gets love letters, and we get, you know, the, can you believe they did this? And for me, we got made fun of so much over the tenure of our show, whether it was on The Soup or any other show, or like other shows picking on us. Yeah. We were always the one that was picked on. And so at a certain point, we just started owning it. And I love this surrealist scene where, to your point, like Jamie's never going to hang out by himself in the Red Bedroom record studio space and hang out with this like traveling musician. We just kind of threw our hands up at this point. It's the end of season 5. And we're like, we're just going to do whatever we like. Bye. And thank God for those of you at home that came along for the ride and were in on the joke. Like, thank you guys for supporting it, because, you know, we felt not necessarily supported by the media, but supported by our fans. And obviously that has longer staying power.
Mm-hmm. Clearly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You guys are the best. It's an amazing ride. I did not know that was Joe the dog. I thought it was a goat.
What?
Stop, Joy.
Joy, we lived with that dog in base camp for a year.
I know. I don't know why. I just saw it and my brain said, why is there a goat in a bar?
A goat.
And then I was obsessed. Like, hey, it's fitting. Great. Let's keep going.
That drunk montage was perfect.
It was really just very funny.
Perfect. How fun for Chad. He was wonderful in this episode.
Yeah.
His acting kind of went to another level this season. I don't know if he was, I know he was taking classes in LA. I think he went to Larry Moss for a while. And I don't know if that was before or after or whatever, but I remember him talking about that. And I just feel like there was something showing up. Like, he was dropped into his body a lot more than I had seen even before. He was great in this. Really still. Like, it's not an energy I feel like I'm used to from Lucas anyway.
Mm. It's crazy how similar he is to, like, Keith in this episode, right? Mm-hmm. Except everywhere that Keith zigged, Lucas is gonna zag. And seeing him in the moment making choices was interesting.
I feel like they also gave him material that, like, felt a little more real and human. Like, everything Lucas has been going through, he's less of an archetype of, you know, the poet, the hero, and he's a guy. He's a guy who's struggling, and I feel like, to your point, Joy, it's like you get to see him, you see Chad as an actor having things to bring in, and, like, even the montage that they shot of him at the bar, he looks like himself. He doesn't look like he's playing another person.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's wearing his own hat and his own sunglasses, and, like, it's like funny. Yeah. It feels really real.
With his own dog.
Yeah, his own dog. Like, I don't know.
People at home might not know who Joe is.
Oh, Joe.
Good point.
Epic dog. He was our mascot. He was like our trailer mascot.
Joe was a really good dog. Really good dog. And I think that's how I met Chad. It was like, who the has a dog running around base camp? Oh, it's this guy, you know? That was his bait when he was talking to chicks, like, oh, have you met my dog? There was so much of, there were so many Easter eggs in this episode, like Joe, like members of our crew popping up. I just felt like it was a yearbook. Like, it just feels warm and fuzzy, like the end of the school year.
That's great. Mm-hmm. It was totally a yearbook. Yeah, seeing our crew in the scenes with Mouth in the end, I feel like there are always crew jumping in as extras in the hospital scenes whenever people are walking around.
It's exactly that. We're so used to seeing people passing by, but there was something even about, like, Scott Hardwick and Jim Nelson being in the news station. Like, they felt like characters. They had things to do. They weren't just walking by in the background filling in. And it, everything does feel a little surrealist. Gavin and Jackson and all of those people and Joe and all, I don't know. It's like we brought some things in because we just wanted to, I guess.
Well, it was like the River Court, Nathan, Lucas and Haley, about, you know, getting more of that best friend energy. The rooftop again that we saw.
Water balloons. Times. Yeah.
The water balloons. I mean, oh my gosh. Okay, should we go in order or?
Let's go in order, guys. It's so much, we're never going to fit it in.
Oh my God, you guys, we haven't even given people the synopsis.
Oh my gosh, we keep forgetting to do this. Okay, Sophia, you've been out, so you read the synopsis.
Okay. Episode 518, What Comes After the Blues, originally aired May 19th, 2008. Angie is heading back to her family, which obviously leaves Brooke devastated. Lucas deals with the fallout of his actions following his game night scuffle. Haley has a musical breakthrough, and Peyton is reeling from the blow of Lucas saying that he hates her. Nathan and Jamie face their fears together. It's not written into the synopsis, but also Mouth and Millie have such good stuff in this episode. Mouth struggling with the blowback of being a human and Millie being such an incredibly supportive partner.
Yes.
Yeah. And like Dan's waiting on a heart. This is a very short synopsis. This feels weird, but there's a lot for us to talk about, clearly.
I mean, this whole episode could have been a whole season of a show today. Like normally we do like six to eight episodes now. This whole episode could have been 6 to 8 episodes.
Yeah, they just stretched it all out.
Yeah.
I was obsessed with this opening montage, not just Chad at the bar drinking, but the Girl Scouts, the water balloons, the table with the old men playing chess, Millie walking through the street with her high heels and the balloons just missing her, and she just keeps plowing through. It was so good.
Yeah. It was precision montage. It was gorgeous.
Let's talk about Peyton on the roof.
Girl, I had no idea when we were watching the balloons that it was Peyton.
You did?
The whole time, I'm thinking it's like Jamie or like Lucas. Yeah, I thought it was like somebody else.
I thought he was up there drowning his feelings, taking shots, throwing water balloons at people, and it was you.
Peyton hates everyone.
Ugh. Listen, at least she's not self-sabotaging anymore. Now she's just community sabotaging, which feels like a healthy evolution.
But it's like with bubbles. Like, this is like the most innocent. I wrote this down, her version of being angry and angsty, but it's so innocent. It's the I'm not actually trying to hurt anybody. I just am mad. And this is a safe way for me to take it out on everyone, which feels nice after everything we've walked through with Peyton over the years and seen her, you know, in genuinely dark places.
It's the true definition of emo. It's like, I'm mad, but I'm harmless. I remember filming everything but the water balloons, you guys, like all the stuff. With us in the recording studio, I totally remember. I remember all the stuff with Chad, like all of that. Like it was yesterday. Mm-hmm. And somehow the water balloons escaped me. And that was one of my favorite parts of this episode. They were aggressive throws.
They really were.
How are you going to attack a bunch of Girl Scouts?
Easily.
Honestly, I loved
it. Old men playing chess.
I just thought the whole montage was so, so good. And the slow-mo is used so effectively in this episode. Like all those sweet little Girl Scouts getting hit with those balloons. Mm-hmm. And then later, if we fast forward, when Jamie's in his little water wings, like there's something about these moments happening in slow motion. I don't know. I really, really liked it.
Yeah. Well, the Girl Scout uniform is even a callback to season one when Tim and Nathan do the little Girl Scout Dare Night Challenge. You know, was that one or two? So many little Easter eggs. Let's see if we can find them all.
Oh
the fans are going to know if we miss some. They're going to be like, you guys.
Seeing things, the whole way the montage went, I loved that they let that whole song play out and really let us catch up without having to hear anything but music. Like even that Deb soundtrack. And Skills, right? The soundtrack in this episode was so good. Deb and Skills being on the sneak. You know, you said it, Millie walking through the water balloons unfazed. Like that gave me, when I was thinking it was Lucas, I was like, oh, he must have been up there for days. Like she just doesn't even care at this point. She's used to walking into work to this. And Lisa just looks so good in that scene. She has this like hilarious confidence about her. Her physicality is like simultaneously very elegant and very funny. Mm-hmm. And then you have that cut, talk about physicality to James, like double dribbling two basketballs through the gym. Hillary, are you okay?
No. Sports. Listen, we're going to get to the sports of it all.
Okay.
Because that was beyond sports. That was like a spiritual experience, seeing him dribble two basketballs at the same time. What in the hell,
muscle? What in the hell?
No, Millie had like big Wes Anderson energy.
Yes.
Oh, good call. Yes.
Yes.
Loved it. Loved
Lisa
it.
Lisa needs to be in a Wes Anderson movie.
She's just so plucky.
Ugh. And then I love that it comes out of the music on Jamie looking at Lucas saying, I think you drink too much. And then the reveal.
Which is a great callback to him saying it to his dad at the beginning of the season.
Yes. Oh, I forgot about that too.
Egg.
You're so good. I think you drink too much. And the mohawk. The mohawk is
the
great.
Mohawk.
So funny.
What was that about? Did Chad just want to cut his hair? Like,
it must have been, right? But, I mean, at that point, we were all like having to ask permission for every little thing. So I think, yeah, he probably wanted to cut his hair, right?
I think
he looked great. I loved the haircut.
I've never shaved anybody's head before. That was my first time shaving someone's head. Yeah, I was really nervous.
Oh, yeah. Well, and on camera.
I know.
Ooh. One take, baby. One take.
It was fun, though.
That was a sweet scene between you guys.
I like the quotes. We have lots of quotes in this episode, too. And I think if we go in order, then the first one here is Nathan saying, "The darkness doesn't have any answers, Luke."
Yeah.
I thought that was really nice. That also felt like a bit of a callback to season one when we were, there were all these sort of epic, poetic quotes throughout the season.
Yeah.
And they gradually got less and less as we just had more storylines and more people to fill. But I liked, there's a few really good ones in here.
Mm. Well, I felt the ghost of Keith all over this episode.
Yeah.
And that is absolutely something that Keith would have said to Lucas, like leaning over the hood of a car, right? Just the darkness doesn't have any answers. And to see Lucas in the very same position that Keith was in when he got totally humiliated, stood up at the altar, you know, and the chick didn't want him back. And now he's making a mess of his life and he's drinking like his Uncle Keith. And, you know, who's going to pull you out of that hole? So I love that it was Nathan. I love that Nathan and Haley are the friends, you know, that Karen was to Keith when he was in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice little generational recall.
I think you're right about the ghost of Keith being all over it, because that is why Dan is so insane. Legitimately, and he's gone insane. He's crossed over into total like cloud cuckoo land, and everything that he's saying is the way he's talking to this guy, holding up a card that the guy can't see. He's like shaking his head up and down. He's interacting with this person as though they're awake. I mean, Paul really commits to it, but there's nothing normal about this behavior at all, but it's all stemming from the moment that he killed his brother. And it's like, oh, could he kill again? Is he going to do something else again? He's just trying to find redemption, trying to find his way. And it's all coming from Keith, from what happened with Keith.
Yeah.
That is the umbrella over the episode, I think. You're right, Hill.
Well, and isn't it interesting if you think about it that way? We feel his presence, and Dan is really driven mad by his absence. And it's such an interesting thing how someone can be gone, but still so much a part of your life.
Dan's dealing with like the telltale heart right now. Like, he is losing his marbles. And I was watching this episode when Dan is all like, come on, Pastor, just die. And also die. And then, but it would be cool if you would die. You know, it's just this like emotional roller coaster that Dan's doing. And all I could think is, I bet Sarah Paulson would do a really good job playing Dan Scott. Like, in my head, I was like, who else can do this batshit stuff? I just want to see other actors get to do that.
Like, crazy thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It was so up and down. And you're right. Paul committed, which was a lesson he taught us all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, don't half-ass it. Get in there. Make it real.
Well, you have to when you're, it's so ridiculous. Why is a hospital allowing number two on the heart transplant list to be alone in the room with number one?
Dude.
It's a conflict of interest.
Sophia, what are the real rules in a hospital?
Yeah,
go.
Yeah, by the way, none of any of this is based in any semblance of reality. Also, you would never know who else was on the list. Like, it's such a violation of someone's HIPAA rights. You can't. Oh, yeah. It's so crazy to be like, oh, yeah, well, that guy's one ahead of you. Like, mm-hmm. They would never.
You should trip him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's insanity.
I really like it. I mean, they straight up handed that man a pillow. They were like,
yeah.
Do you want to make the Reverend more comfortable? Good on that actor for keeping a straight face.
I really wanted him to open his eyes. I kept wanting mm-hmm. him to just open his eyes.
If he could just open one eye, just a little like wink-a-dink.
A little side eye for Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, excuse me, hello?
Yeah, and then where's the Reverend's real congregation and real family? Can you imagine them coming in being like, hey.
Yeah, he's a Reverend of what the hell kind of a congregation and family? They never show up.
No one shows up. Also, all I could think was that the woman playing the nurse who was acting with Paul, I was like, guys, come on. Nurses know everything that's going down at the hospital. There is no way this woman would be like, oh, you want to adjust his head? Here's a pillow. Like, please.
So I play this little game every morning where I leave the house looking decrepit. And then I drop my children off at school. And then I get to my office and I take out a nice, cute little bag that came with my Thrive Cosmetic order. And with just a couple of products, I'm able to look like a normal, happy, healthy human again. It's incredible. I love these products. Thrive Cosmetics has a full line of makeup to refresh your everyday look. With clean, skin-loving ingredients, their foolproof products make it easy for any skill level to apply. Now, a few of my favorite products include their incredible Infinity Waterproof Eyebrow Liner. Its easy-to-use waterproof pencil holds like wax and blends like a powder. Just line brows to give this some structure and create natural-looking strokes of hair to fill in sparse brows. It comes with a spoolie brush to lift and tame brows after applying the pencil, and there are 8 shades to choose from that adjust to your natural brow color for a perfect match every time. Now, my other favorite product, I've been talking about this forever, is the Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara. Their unique formula creates tubes around each eyelash to lengthen them. And it's super easy to remove, you guys. This is my favorite part. It just slides right off with warm water, doesn't leave smudges, doesn't pull your eyelashes out. It's incredible. Its nourishing ingredients support longer, stronger, and healthier looking lashes over time. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/drama. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/drama for 10% off your first order. Friends, we need a second to talk about Squarespace. Squarespace has so many helpful and amazing tools, product features, and they make it so user-friendly. Now, one of the product features that I love is their asset library. You can upload, organize, and access all of your content from one place. With the new asset library, you're able to manage all of your files from one central hub and use them across the Squarespace platform. They also have flexible website templates, so you can get started with one of their professional website templates with designs for every category and use case. Then you just customize your look, update content, and add features to fit your unique needs. You can make any Squarespace template do what you want, so your idea, your brand, or your business stands out online on every device. Plus, they will make selling your products on an online store a breeze. Whether you sell physical, digital, or service products, Squarespace has the tools you need to start selling online. Go to squarespace.com/drama for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code DRAMA to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
I think this is such a brilliant invention, and I wish somebody had come up with it earlier, but I'm glad we have it now. you know, I've been doing theater since I was a little kid. My mom has all these videotapes of me and all these productions. And then we also have all of our family movies and all of the family photo albums and all of the everything that just takes up so much space. And I'm so grateful that Legacy Box created this whole platform to be able to condense these amazing memories down into something that's actually tangible and easy to access.
Well, and with Mother's Day fast approaching, it is a great gift for the whole family. So you can relive moments like wedding days, first steps, or the embarrassing haircut you had in the 90s. You can reconnect with your family's history and hear your grandmother's voice again for the first time.
Yes, the process is so easy. You just send in your legacy box filled with old VHS tapes, camcorder tapes, and pictures. And their team professionally digitizes everything by hand. In the USA, you'll get everything back on the cloud or a thumb drive along with your originals. It's so easy.
Yeah. I mean, again, the VHSs, my new project is that I found Jeffrey's big, huge storage containers of VHS. And he was making TV shows in the late 80s, early 90s that I never got to see. This so is good. My chance. So
all of his pilots that never aired,
girl,
right?
I love those old beta tapes.
Yes.
So you guys can do this too. Join over 1.5 million families that have trusted Legacy Box with their memories. Just go to legacybox.com/drama to save 60% during their best Mother's Day sale ever. That's legacybox.com/drama.
Nothing is more fun for me than decorating, whether it's like I've moved, I have to go on location somewhere, or my friends are moving. I just want to design people's houses. It's happy. And you know, like a place goes from just being, you know, like a box you live into a home.
Only Wayfair has everything you need to bring that vision to life. I can attest to this personally. I am on this site all the time finding amazing things for my home. Wayfair is the place to shop for everything home from sofas and beds to dining sets and decor. No matter your style or budget, there is a Wayborhood in every zip code brought to life by everyone who makes their home truly their own with Wayfair.
A huge selection of home goods ranging from appliances and area rugs to beds and wall art. Everything you need for your living room, outdoor areas, bedroom, and more. Wayfair makes it easy with fast and free shipping, even on the big stuff, and they'll even help you set it up.
Every style is welcome in the Wayborhood. Visit Wayfair.com or get the Wayfair mobile app. That's WAYFAIR.com. Wayfair. Every style, every home.
Well, we had Brooke and baby Angie set up for a dream day at the beach. And by the way, you look.
By the way.
Fucking hot.
Bless
super
you.
Spectacular.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thanks.
Swimsuit
cute.
Day.
I can see the discomfort on my face when I have to walk out, just being like, I got to do this scene with a baby in my underwear.
They were like, you know how we can get Sophia naked? Give her a baby. Make it seem wholesome.
She's taking a baby to the beach. Here we go.
Yeah. Who takes a baby that has like a wound from heart surgery to the beach where there's like sand and dirt?
So stupid.
Mm-hmm. We're trying to avoid infection. Let's take her to the beach.
The like pure humor of them just being like, we don't know what to do with her. We're going to make her say she's going to ask Lucas to give her a baby. Then we're going to realize that didn't go well and pretend we never said it. Then we're going to make it very clear that she's trying to help Peyton get Lucas back. But it's the end of the season and it'll be way more dramatic if people wonder if he's calling one of three women instead of one of two. So let's throw Brooke's name back in the ring. Julie, when you come early in the episode and you're like, whoever it is, Luke, is it Lindsay? Is it Peyton? Is it Brooke? I went, what? Like, what? Mm-hmm. Brooke's not involved in any of this.
Yeah.
Every time they try to involve nobody likes it. And then we stop. And then every time there's something where they think they need more drama, I'm in. And I'm like, this is, we're in, we're out, we're in, we're out. I have whiplash.
Yes. Yes. I know Brooke's not going to Vegas to get married to Lucas, but I wouldn't put it past him in that moment to call her and be like, you know what? Look, it's just not working out for either of us anywhere. Why don't we just get together?
Let's just go.
Guys, we all made those packs. We all made those packs. When I was writing my book, I went through all my old journals, right? And I found a contract that I had with some dude where if we weren't married by the time we were like 30 or 35... we stated that we were going to marry each other, and my signature's on this thing, and some dude's signature is on this thing, and for the life of me, I don't know who it is. I cannot decipher the signature. But that's something that, like, that we would do with our guy friends, is be like, is it from that movie, the Julia Roberts movie,
yeah.
My Best Friend's
My
Wedding
Best Friend's
or something?
Wedding. Yes.
Y'all, I need somebody to come read this signature and tell me who it was, because I'm sorry it didn't work out.
What a testament to the things that we think are so certain and solid when we're young. I mean, probably things we even think now and then, you know, look 30 years in the future. Like, I feel like every generation or so, every few decades, you got to like reassess, because
you really do. Well, yeah. And the reality is there are all sorts of things you can think are true today. And in a year, you don't know. You just don't know. Yeah. It's like,
Brooke and Lucas are totally the people to have that kind of arrangement, though.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Lucas and Haley could never, I think they would just be grossed out. But no. Definitely Lucas and Brooke.
Yeah, I feel like those two, in the ways that they're both a little emo, would just be like, listen, we have these weird lives, and nothing we seem to want to work out is working out. And maybe there's a reason everybody keeps asking us if we're into each other. Should we try again? Like, I think they would just get so practically tired that they might be game. I just always find it so funny when I see, it's like I can see the writers going, we got to drum up some more drama.
Yeah. Well, you had tons of drama in this episode. I mean, and in the last few, you've been a big bucket of emotions. Ugh. And again, a fabulous interaction with Dr. Cutie. And unfortunately,
when the silence sets
never
in,
never saw him again.
Hello? I was like, oh, here it comes. When the silence sets in, Brooke, I was like, he's going to say, call me. And then he was like, be proud of what you did for this baby. I was like, what the?
What's pride going to get me? Give me your number.
We all boo hissed that one. We're like, Chris Ethan, come on.
This is the moment where you ask her out.
Yeah, I really am so confused as to why he didn't come back, because that was his last episode. And I just don't get it. Do you remember anything about this?
Well, I'm unsure, but I do know in the times where we spill the tea, I do know that this was really getting us into the era where Voldemort really didn't like there being guys around, because there were, you know, girls on our show who were single, who he was trying to make moves on, and he didn't want them to have options. So,
oh my God.
Yeah.
Slim pickings, because guess what? I was single by this episode. By this episode, my hair's different, my makeup's different, because for the first time in the entire history of One Tree Hill, Hillary Burton was single. And I was ready to mingle.
And you looked beautiful. You were glowing. Your hair.
And I looked around and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
The playing field seems
slim
sparse.
Pickens, babe.
Yeah. But then why even hire him in the first place? Like, why bring him in just to tease us and then give us no follow through?
Well, maybe he thought we would hate him and we didn't.
Everybody liked him and he went, ooh, he's got to go.
Well, I'm sorry that that happened, because I really wish Brooke had been able to have that storyline.
Brooke should have dated a hot doctor, honestly.
Yes.
It would have been nice for her.
Yeah, definitely.
An adult that, like, gave her good advice, like, when the silence sets in, know that you've done a lovely thing, Brooke.
So if they relied on you a lot for a lot of the comedy just in the show in general. I think Brooke brought, so much levity. Did you enjoy doing this like arc where it was pretty much all drama all the time, or did it feel like, was it exhausting and you missed,
I think,
being giggly?
I mean, I love doing the sort of comedic relief as Brooke. I always really enjoyed that. That was how, she was pitched to me. I think what I enjoyed about this was her having a storyline that didn't revolve around a man. Just felt nice.
Yeah.
It was hard on some days, as it always is, working with the baby. And then at other times it was sort of great. It was like, you know, we were so used to doing like 16, 17 hour days, and you can't work hours like that with a baby. So like, I had some free time for the first time in 5 years. I was like, ooh, I have to go home when the baby goes home. Bye. Like, I kind of loved that practically. But yeah, I don't know. I didn't mind it. What really makes me feel cringy, and I remember it, was like how hard they wanted me to push being broken when I have to give the baby back. And like, they wanted me sobbing in that airport. Mm. And I was like, this feels really over the top. Like, guys, I get that she's attached, but I've had this baby for what, like 3 weeks or something? Like,
they wanted you to go full Nanny Carrie.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing. I was like, this feels like we're getting into like Nanny Carrie territory, like single white female care, like territory, like
the hand that rocks the cradle.
Yeah. Or if you've had a kid that you're fostering and it's been like a year, you know,
well,
that,
yes, of
that,
course.
Yes. But 3 weeks.
But like, I don't know. It just felt so extreme. And so I remember, like, as soon as I saw it happening and I'm supposed to like just boohoo and sob and then turn around and see Lucas, like, I was like, God, I hated it then. And I hate watching it now because I didn't feel like it was right.
Oh, I didn't mind it. Oh, okay. I liked it. I mean, I thought you did a really like sincere job of being upset, kind of in the same way, like, remember when we were kids and we would leave summer camp and that last day of camp we'd cry so hard because we're like, we're never gonna see these people again. So it wasn't like the world was ending, but it was just like, I loved this bubble. This bubble was so nice. Brooke just got to be in a baby bubble.
Yeah, it worked for me because it felt to me like it wasn't so much about specifically Angie as Brooke had found something to pour herself into that was not her work. It wasn't her ability to accomplish something. Nobody was relying on her for her brains or business acumen or creativity. It was like just her presence, her actual physical presence.
That's so nice.
Was so meaningful. And to have the one thing that, to have that taken away, the thing that's giving you, it's like telling you you're valuable just because you exist and your presence is here. And when that goes away, that's like, well, great. What do I do now? What am I supposed to go back to?
Yeah.
Do I have to now keep performing all these things in order just to be loved and have value? So it hit me because it didn't seem like it was melodramatic.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Yeah.
Well, isn't it funny though? Like, it's so helpful to be able to hear how people experience something that they're watching. Because, I have a sense memory of, like, being directed in a way by someone who obviously I didn't like in a way that felt over the top. And I was like, I don't know about this. It feels icky. And you're like, no, it totally works. I'm like, okay, great. It works.
But I don't think it worked because of the reason he was directing you.
Like, right.
I think what was happening was exactly what you thought was happening. But I think it came across as better than planned.
I'm glad.
Yeah, so that was good stuff. And I did like seeing Lucas show up at the airport and being there for her.
I did too.
So interesting.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively.
So therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. I've had plenty of times in my life and seasons where I have needed a safe space where I could just know that there was no judgment. I could just sort of dump out whatever I was thinking. And sometimes even just hearing myself say things out loud made it easier to go, wait a second, actually, I don't believe that. Why am I carrying that narrative around in my brain? But it doesn't always feel easy to say that kind of stuff to friends or people you're in relationship with. So I love therapy for that reason and many more.
I do too. I totally agree, especially because therapy is a dedicated chunk of time. Like for me, it's an hour a week where I really focus on my self-care. It's like, I think of it as a, you know, gym for my brain and my heart. And it's so important to take care of yourself in that way. And like you said, Joy, you can't always unburden on your friends. And I think a lot of us sometimes don't talk about what's going on with us because we feel guilty asking somebody to help us work through something. But that's literally a therapist's job. And I think that's why it works so well. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/drama today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drama.
Oh gosh, I'm so excited whenever we get these offers. I love using my coupons that I virtually clip out for Thrive because they have all these options of things that I can't find in my local grocer. And the one thing everyone has to do is grocery shop, right? So why not do it from the comfort of your couch? And for me, that's where Thrive Market comes in.
Totally agree. Thrive Market is my go-to for all of my grocery and my household essentials. And the convenience of getting everything online and then quick ship to my doorstep, huge time saver.
I love that Thrive Market carries brands with the highest quality ingredients and sourcing methods. They restrict hundreds of ingredients across their food and cleaning categories, and I use their online filters to suit my lifestyle needs. So whether you're looking for organic kids snacks or low sugar alternatives or gluten-free pantry essentials, you can curate your own shopping experience with a few clicks to make simpler, healthier swaps.
Not only do we all save time shopping as Thrive Market members, but I love that I save money on every single grocery order. I mean, on average, it's over 30% savings every single time. Whether that's pantry staples, like you said, like, you know, peanut butter and coconut oil, or I am getting the gluten-free snacks I'm actually supposed to be eating, it really makes a big difference.
When you join Thrive Market, you are also helping a family in need with their one-for-one membership matching program. You join, they give.
So save time and money. Shop Thrive Market today. Go to thrivemarket.com/drama for 30% off your first order, plus a free $60 gift. That's Thrive, T-H-R-I-V-E, market.com/drama. thrivemarket.com/drama.
Ooh, honey. You know that I can't wear fancy shoes with a dress. I am a boots and dress woman. So now that festival and concert season are going to be all about boots, Tecovas must be your stop before attending your next concert, you guys. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparels, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. This is so important. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles, and the smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized, and with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to the store, just visit tecovas.com, that's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
I spent the first trimester of my pregnancy with Gus in Puerto Rico. And if you're going to be sick and grumpy and tired, it's such a beautiful place. Like, it really fixes a lot.
It really is. I shot a movie there and I shot my first commercial there when I was 14 years old. It was so fun. And I've been back 3 times since then. My cousin used to live there and it's just a fabulous place. I love it.
I learned this word from Gina Rodriguez, who is probably the biggest Puerto Rico fan of all of us. Boricua is the name for someone from Puerto Rico, but it's more than just a name. It's a way of life. It's a representation of the spirit of the island, you know?
The unique Boricua spirit infuses the music and welcoming spirit of the island in Puerto Rico. If you can hear the music, you're invited to the party.
Sometimes it's salsa, sometimes it's plena, sometimes it's reggaeton. No matter what the rhythm is calling to you, when you hear it, it's always time to dance.
All I want to do now is dance with y'all. Let's go.
Well, in Puerto Rico, you can't step outside without hearing music. Puerto Rico has renowned bars and nightlife and a welcoming spirit.
In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are.
No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents.
Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
And you know what I thought was really interesting? it hit me in that scene, you know, Lucas being there for Brooke in this way. And when they get back to her house, I was confused about like why he picked her up at the airport, but then disappeared, but then came back. But whatever, mm-hmm. It worked in the order that it needed to. But the fact that he talks to her about her vulnerability and why it's special really echoed for me what Haley was doing for Lucas in this episode. Because sit with him and you say, stop hiding your heart.
That's my next quote on the list. Stop hiding your heart.
Same. I circled it.
And you say, you're telling him to be honest about his feelings, to stop making a mess. And I really like that in a way he takes the advice that you give to him and then he offers it to Brooke and tells her that her vulnerability is something that he's grateful to witness. And he thanks her for letting him be a part of it. I was like, oh, wow, everyone really is showing up for their friends well in this episode.
I mean, I thought it was a little flirty. But he's telling her. Yeah, I thought, hold on, I wrote this shit down. You know that I did.
Oh, maybe it was because they were trying to do that on purpose because they knew what the ending they were going to try and mislead the audience.
Yeah, I mean, look, they were teasing. They were definitely like teasing a cliffhanger. But when he's like, Brooke, that's the only way I see you. And it's why you're so beautiful. It was like, tell me more. I didn't hate it. If he ends up calling Brooke, I'm not mad at it. I think that there's a real basis for a partnership there.
Yeah.
Maybe not so much like romance, but partnership, which is probably a bigger like factor in a long-term relationship. Like, can we pick each other up? Can we make each other safe? And Luke, for whatever reason, wants to make Brooke feel very safe.
Yeah.
If I can jump in and say, though, that I, Hilary Burton, the actor, was feeling some very real, like, jealousy that Luke was getting to comfort Brooke and Peyton was, like, painting a fucking mural somewhere. I was just like, what? Well, where is Peyton? Because that's her...
Why did she call Luke? Why do you think she called Luke?
She probably called both of them, but I was just like, well, like, for me there.
Yeah. It worked because Luke and Brooke were both saying goodbye to the girl that they love. And I think,
that's a good one.
That's what was happening. So it was good that they were together, but it was weird that she didn't call Peyton.
Well, I will say that, thank God, though, they actually addressed it, even though it was quick, because he says, where's Peyton? And then I have to admit that I didn't tell you that Angie was actually leaving today. And so that's why he calls me on like hiding this stuff from people.
That's all he's doing this episode is be like, is Peyton here? Because he does it with Haley on the rooftop. He's like, no Peyton, right?
Yeah. Where is she?
I'm trying to duck her. She's being a weirdo.
Painting that mural, though. Okay, what did it actually say? Do you know what the quote is? Because I kept trying to read it and I couldn't catch it.
It's the end of Lucas's book. It's the whole thing about how, like, love remade him and...
Mm-hmm. Made me, like, young again, made me whole again. And it's a picture of the comet smashing into all of it.
Oh, man, I've really missed that.
And he says, what it looks like, at least, is that in his writing of that final paragraph... He says, I will always love you, like in it at some point, because you can see that kind of at the bottom of the comet. And then she does the like return on the computer screen thing and says, I will always love you, Peyton. Okay. Mm. So, she like gave him his book back.
Really made me miss the River Court.
Oh, me
damn,
too.
That shot of Chad standing in the middle of the quote.
Yes.
I mean, the
big aerial shot.
There's so many epic artistic shots and moments in this episode. Even Mouth and Millie leaning up against the wall at the news station, the way the camera moved past. It just felt like really elevated, interesting to look at.
Our camera department showed up. So many crane shots in this episode.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
From the very beginning, that shot of Main Street where it like comes down onto the street. Yeah, the River Court shots, the shots in the airport. End. We worked that crane this episode.
Yeah, and the end of the car accident.
Mm-hmm. We'll get there.
Yeah.
Well, and think about it too. You know, it's 5:18, but it's the season finale because the season was truncated because of the strike. So there was budget left over. Like, we had a full 8 days of a techno crane on this episode. And that's not something we normally had.
Oh, that's right. That's
so to have a crane every day. Yeah. Like, that's why all these shots are so amazing.
So you could take an episode that normally for us would just be in town. You go to all your regular locations and you could turn it into something that was so much more interesting. You could take more time with the shots. Yeah.
Makes it look more like a movie.
I want a crane on everything.
Me too.
Joy, I sidebarred before we got to the talk with Haley and Lucas on the roof. Because I really loved that scene. I thought you and him had so much this episode that was funny. Like you telling him to fix the ferret on his head.
I loved that.
Gold star.
But then
you guys have this moment where you're reminiscing about the water balloon fight you had on top of Karen's cafe, and you say to him that we're not kids anymore. And this is my favorite part of One Tree Hill, is how Southern it is, where our characters are 22 years old. Yeah. They are stressed about being married and having kids. Like there is no time left. That is the most Southern thing about our show. And Haley's just true. Like, clock's ticking, Luke. We're not kids anymore.
We're going to die soon, Luke. You better get your together.
Pull it together.
I love that it's like, our brains won't be done developing for 4 more years, but we are old and we should be responsible. It's so good.
I love it.
Yeah.
Stop hiding your heart.
Stop hiding your heart. It's so nice.
That's a good one, too. All of the garbage and pain is just garbage and pain. And love is better. And don't underestimate love. And I remember reading that and really feeling connected to that. That was a really real moment there.
Well, I also like her saying that to a writer in particular. You know, garbage and pain isn't poetic. Because there really is this notion for artists, you know, like the tortured artist. I remember years ago, a friend of mine that I was working with had to get sober, and he was really struggling. He was convinced that if he did, he wouldn't be as good an actor. And like, that's this lie that, you know, that somehow your mess is what makes you interesting. And it was really special for me as a friend to be able to like witness the unpacking of that. And I love that Haley kind of calls Lucas on it and is like, enough. Like, no more of this tortured artist nonsense. Show up for what's good in your life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Love is better. Love is interesting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Well, and it's not some myth that keeps you sick or keeps you small. I loved it.
I think Haley talks the talk in this episode, but also really walks the walk. Like, there's there are multiple moments in this episode where you see her just taking in her own life, taking in her family, taking in being in the recording studio and shit just clicking. And it's one thing when the person giving you advice is just like saying all the right things, but it's another thing when you're witnessing them live it and call it into action. And so seeing Haley, who has been through some hellacious shit, I don't know, it just, that felt so real, you know?
Yeah.
It feels nice to appreciate goodness in the moment, because I think a lot of people I certainly have fallen into the habit of recognizing it after the fact and be like, oh, that was lovely. That's my experience in this podcast. Like, the filming of it didn't feel good. I would wake up every day with like a pit in my stomach. And it's so nice to go back and look at it and be like, there are parts of that that were awesome. That was nice. Yeah. That was nice. Yeah. And so to see Haley appreciate it in the moment, that's such an important life skill that now I get to practice. Yeah.
Haley and Nathan seemed to be doing a lot of that in this episode. Like, they're really,
that's what I was just going to say.
Yeah, like walking through the compilation of the things that they've been through in their life and just being able to use those as ways to help other people, or like learn, watching Nathan learn. I have a whole thing about Nate learning here.
Yeah.
But I just, real quick, I'm I'm still chewing on what you, the last thing you said, Sophia. You said it's not a myth that keeps you small. Could you just elaborate on that? Because I didn't understand what you meant, but it was interesting.
Yeah. So, like, the mythology of the tortured artist, the mythology of pain being good for you. You know, this idea, I've seen a lot of people sharing this quote from a therapist recently that was like, I don't like what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I disagree. Like, trauma that you've survived hasn't made you stronger. You're strong because you survived it. You didn't deserve to go through the trauma, and you shouldn't be required to go through trauma to grow. It's so these ideas, for me, I'm really fascinated by these myths that we need to stop believing in, like that being tortured makes you a better artist or whatever. And I love that Haley is essentially saying to Lucas, like, the myth, the garbage and pain being poetic, that's a myth. Love is better.
Yeah.
Like, garbage and pain actually just keep you small. They keep you afraid. They keep you hurting. And if you can do the work to unpack your stuff, you know, whatever your stuff is, and like, take your own trash out, I think you can get out of whatever cycle you've been in that keeps you small or makes you small. You can choose, like, the bigger and the better life. I mean, when you were talking about it earlier, Joy, like, every couple of decades or maybe every couple of years, you got to reassess. Like, that's certainly a journey that I'm on in the moment. And it's, like, you know, not something I particularly want to talk about in detail, but the theme of this season for me truly is, like, oh, no, I will not stay in any circumstance that makes me small.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just won't.
How do you balance that with, like, because, and I remember thinking this actually when Haley was saying this quote too, because yes, I went with it the direction that you're talking about with the artists believing these myths about being tortured and that making them interesting. But I think that, like, don't we have to go through hard things in order to grow? Like, how can you grow if you never encounter something that challenges your character or to figure out? A lot of times we don't even know what we're capable of or who we are until we're faced with it. Like, what are you going to do in this moment? And you have to make a decision. And the decision is a determining factor into the development of your character.
Yes. And I think challenge is so important. But I think that the danger is when we romanticize our suffering and say it's what made us good.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. But, like, acknowledging, because we've all been through so much in our, our lives, and, like, acknowledging, man, when I think about the things that I've been through, I don't wish that on anyone. I don't wish that I went through it. But I also, I'm grateful for it because of the things that I've learned and how it's changed me and my being able to grow past those things.
You would have been a good person without him. Yeah, you would have been a good person without him.
I don't know.
It shoots and ladders, man.
That's true.
I think the shoots and ladders aspect, where the notion is that you have to backslide five spaces in order to move forward and be in, like, your real position in life.
Or a better position.
Or a better position. You know, in parenting, there's a lot of, like, well, it toughened me up, so I'm going to toughen my kids up the same way so that they come up with the same morals that I do. I am very, very lenient and very, very loving with my children because they don't have to deal with the same shit that I did. And they make better decisions than I did. They make decisions that come from a place of love instead of a place of fear and defensiveness. Mm-hmm. And so the idea that you must go through trauma to come out as a good person is a part of the hero's journey. It's a part of a tale that's as old as Ulysses, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's bullshit. It's misogyny. It's a man's story that going to war is the thing that makes you a full person. You can sit in a beautiful space surrounded by flowers and be optimistic and believe in the beauty of the world and still come out a perfectly nice person, a perfectly kind-hearted person. And and I love that Haley wants Lucas to come into the light, you know?
Like, yeah, to choose more joy.
That's it. It's like you can still be a full-bodied person that is worthy of things and still has a big imagination without having to wallow in, you know, the underworld.
Yeah. And yeah, and I think balance. I think what's important is, look, when you've been through hardship, when you have suffered, when you have experienced things, as we all have, that you wouldn't wish on anyone else. Yes, you need to make something of it. You know, it's why the phrase exists. You got to make, you know, you have lemons, lemonade. Make lemonade.
Yeah,
you have to figure out how to make something of it and find a gratitude for it and understand it as part of your story, because otherwise it might kill you. But I would just prefer that people not have to suffer. You know, like I don't buy into this mythology that it's our suffering that makes us interesting. I think it's unfortunate that we live in a world that is so desensitized to human suffering. And I think, you know, for me, like, my entire life's mission is to create more community so that people show up and defend their neighbors. And that we show up and we build a more equitable society. Like, I'm not interested in everyone should suffer because it makes you interesting. Like, I don't think
not
so.
Interesting. No.
You know, but yeah. I do think in the realm of being human, when you've been through something, you have to figure out what it might stand to teach you so that you can exist. And it's really, it's really special in this episode to have Haley and Nathan on these parallel journeys, and they're talking about it as a couple, but they're also using what they've been through to go and encourage their people to grow. And what I love so much is that Haley's doing so much of it with Lucas and Peyton, and that Nathan is doing it with Jamie and doesn't realize he needs someone to do it for him.
Mm-hmm. Which Quentin is kind of doing
for
him in this space.
And Quentin's
as well.
pushing him, and Nathan doesn't react well to it. And it's not until his own son basically says without saying, "Daddy, you and I are going through the same thing. We're both scared," that he goes, "Oh, I'm telling my son not to be scared, and I'm scared, and I'm actually the one denying it, and he's watching. So maybe he's learning to be scared from me." And like, it killed me, this, that whole thing.
Trifecta, this like three, Jamie, Nathan, and Quentin all in this little circle of learning right now, what they're being to each other, how they're sort of, passing the proverbial ball to each other of maturity and innocence and growth and fear. And it's so interesting to me.
Ooh, honey, you know that I can't wear fancy shoes with a dress. I am a boots and dress woman. So now that festival and concert season are going to be all about boots, Tecovas must be your stop before attending your next concert, you guys. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparels, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. This is so important. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. And the smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to the store, just visit tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. And find your new favorite pair of boots today.
I spent the first trimester of my pregnancy with Gus in Puerto Rico. And if you're going to be sick and grumpy and tired, it's such a beautiful place. Like, it really fixes a lot.
It really is. I shot a movie there and I shot my first commercial there when I was 14 years old. It was so fun. And I've been back 3 times since then. My cousin used to live there and it's just a fabulous place. I love it.
I learned this word from Gina Rodriguez, who is probably the biggest Puerto Rico fan of all of us. Boricua is the name for someone from Puerto Rico, but it's more than just a name. It's a way of life. It's a representation of the spirit of the island, you know?
The unique Boricua spirit infuses the music and welcoming spirit of the island in Puerto Rico. If you can hear the music, you're invited to the party.
Mm. Sometimes it's salsa, sometimes it's plena, sometimes it's reggaeton. No matter what the rhythm is calling to you, when you hear it, it's always time to dance.
All I want to do now is dance with y'all. Let's go.
Well, in Puerto Rico, you can't step outside without hearing music. Puerto Rico has renowned bars and nightlife and a welcoming spirit.
In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are.
No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents.
Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Did you know that it's Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? So I saw that Macy's is highlighting some really cool AAPI-owned brands right now online and in-store.
I love that. For the entire month of May, join Macy's in supporting AAPI-owned fashion brands. I really appreciate that a big brand like Macy's is supporting Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month.
Plus, you can help to support college access and student success when you donate online or round up in-store to AAPI scholarships.
AAPI is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students.
So join us by rounding up your purchase to the nearest dollar at checkout to support AAPI scholars and educational nonprofit.
Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander owned brands at Macy's.com or in-store.
Do you know that this has been a tradition in my family for many years? My mother used to love pecan sandies from Keebler. She would bring them home and I would find her in the kitchen taking a little nibble on a stressful day. And I love it. I love it so much. I've adopted it myself. I love coming home and just taking a moment to step away from all the daily expectations and enjoy a little Keebler sandy.
Listen, you know I love a snack break, and Keebler Sandies are perfect for that. They are buttery shortbread cookies made with delicious ingredients like cranberries, Joy's favorite pecans, and almonds.
Mm. Each Keebler Sandy shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The delicate sweetness, the buttery flavor, the crumbly texture, they make Keebler Sandies the perfect pairing with your coffee or tea.
Whether you're enjoying Keebler Sandies as an afternoon snack, serving them at a party, or simply indulging in some me time, they are a classic shortbread cookie that brings simple pleasure to every bite.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
Next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie and enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
Jackson is right, like the same size, the same kind of like maturity as my daughter right now. And there's so many faces that he makes where I'm like, oh shit, I saw that face yesterday, you know? And there's something about like the kids are always copying us, right? Like your child is just always copying you. So if your kid's doing something you don't like, it's because you do it. And we've talked about that in adults, Joy, but you know, I have a girlfriend that's like, I don't know why my daughter doesn't get along with other girls. And I'm like, but have you met you? You know, if your kid's struggling with something, it's because they've watched you struggle with it and they're emulating it. And I love that a kid can be going through something that's a microcosm of the adult problems, but because they're not paying taxes and they don't have work on top of it and they don't have like all these external factors, it makes the issue super boiled down and really easy to diagnose, so that it then opens up all these doors for the grownups, like, oh, all I have to do is put my floaties on.
And you're like Rocky Balboa.
Oh, when Nathan yelled, I'm not afraid, or I'm not scared, whatever.
That's so good.
And it's such a little boy temper tantrum.
But that kind of goes back to what you were just saying too, Soph, about kids, because for Jamie and what Hillary, what you're saying about keeping everything boiled down and what they, you know, kids don't understand their version of their things, but that's their version of suffering. Like a kid being, you know, having to deal with whatever it is that the fear is, or even a parent putting a restriction on a child and saying, no, you cannot just run out into the street. And the kid's like, but I really want to. And then they'll throw a fit, but it's for their safety, but they just can't understand that. Mm-hmm. So their suffering is relative. If, you know, to a child, they really feel like they're suffering because they can't go get the candy out of the jar before dinner, or because they're being grounded because they haven't learned how to
structure, be responsible in certain ways or whatever. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, the suffering is kind of relative. And we think, like, oh, I'm suffering, I shouldn't have to suffer. And yet, our version of suffering may be also relative compared to another someone.
No, but Nathan's suffering that he's frustrated and he's a little bit mm-hmm. embarrassed that it's not right. coming back to him. And he's got this high school kid who mm-hmm. is pushing him and making him look like a dipshit in front of his own son. Like,
oh, totally.
That is suffering to Nathan Scott. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, and then Quentin's dealing with mm-hmm. his own version of what's going on in his world and just trying to still stay alive and stay passionate about the game that he loves and stay relevant in the game that he loves.
Yeah, Haley's suffering in this episode is waking up with a rabbit in her bed because you know those old shits poop everywhere.
That was the look on my face. Like, oh, okay.
Great, I'm going to have to clean this up.
Great. But I did love that. I love them all jumping in the pool. I remember really loving doing that scene. It was one of those, this episode, every day of this episode felt like one of those days at work where I was going through lots of my own personal suffering, and it was an escape to be able to come to work and just have fun and play with mm-hmm. family that was like all really nice people, and everybody was treating each other well, and we were just having a ball. I loved shooting this episode, and I remember jumping in that pool and just being like, play. I just get to play and be a kid, which I felt like I wasn't able to do in my real life at that time. It was fun. It was really fun doing this stuff.
It did feel like there was like a fun thing every day. You were either jumping in the pool or throwing water balloons or getting to do a night shoot at the River Court, which was always real special, you
or
know,
shaving somebody's
or us
head.
Taking over the airport. Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
Every night was a different slumber party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The last thing we really haven't hit here, unless there's something else you guys wanted to say, was Mouth and Millie.
Oh,
yeah. And Lindsay.
Saving the day at the station. Yes. Oh, yeah. And Lindsay. Right. Yeah. Of course.
Ugh. Well, the Mouth and Millie of it all.
I loved it. That huge mic drop. Just him being able to get in there and do what he's really good at. Calling all those cues through the mic. And it was just so funny. Mm-hmm. And I just loved that they made the sportscaster end on, and I'm say your name. I was like, oh, my God, it's perfect. Because it's this heroic moment for Mouth. And, like, you know, the music is swelling and we're all like, yeah, he did it. And then you get that moment of hilarious comic relief. It was perfect.
Well, and you knew they were going to offer him his job. They were like, they were going to let him jump in. And the fact that he says, I quit, and mm-hmm. he gets that great epic exit from that news station that just treated mm-hmm. him so badly.
Yeah.
Oh, that felt good.
All of that was over that Bon Iver song. And Jeff and I danced to Bon Iver at our wedding. That was the first thing that he gave me when we started dating, is that album. And I was like, okay, cool. You like moody shit. You're in. And it was so epic and so swelling because we go from like everybody's pieces are coming together. You know, Haley mm-hmm. has that really touching moment with Lucas. Lucas goes and he talks to Brooke. Lindsay leaves, like, makes this crazy phone call.
Wow.
And then when Mouth just absolutely kills it, it just feels like our kids are all finding their stride. You know,
yeah.
It feels like they're all slowly tiptoeing back onto the path. And it feels nice. It feels like redemptive for this end of the season bit. Only to have the most epic exclamation point in the history of our show.
I am not okay.
You guys, we Regina Georged Dan Scott.
That was wild.
Everything is going so good for everyone.
Even Dan, he's making strides on. He's trying. To
he
make
didn't have to murder
promise.
That man, but that man died. Like, now he's number right. one. He's so happy.
He's trying to give something back to the gods.
What's your name and number? I'm Dan Scott, and I'm number one.
One.
Yeah, you are, baby.
Yeah.
Guys, it hit him so. That car hit him so hard. We have to post the reaction video of us because we fell out. We were done.
I was not prepared.
I wasn't either.
I just wasn't prepared, guys.
I felt like it was going to happen. You know, anytime somebody backs up into a street, you kind of get a feeling something's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But holy sh! That was really intense. I mean, I don't remember. They hit the dummy, right? The dummy was what they actually hit? Or was it like a...
No, it looked like they hit a person.
How did they do that?
Our crew kicked so much ass on this episode. They were like, you want us to do a stunt too? Cool.
Watch this.
We should have one of the stunt guys or a couple of them come talk with us.
John Copeland?
And walk through some of this stuff.
Yeah, yes. John.
Yeah, we should have John come talk through some of the stunts with us sometime.
Because John doubled for Paul.
Best of.
Because they both had dark hair.
And for James as well.
Yeah.
But in this one, yeah, when they hit the street, Paul hit the street and it was for sure a dummy, like falling, like rolling off of the car. And you could see the bad dye job on the mannequin.
Like the arm was all like
flopping in the wrong direction.
There's no joints or bones in that arm.
No.
That's stuffed pantyhose.
And then of course you get the like... You get the dummy falling, and then they cut, and you know they put Paul in for the last little like shake, and then the freaking beeper starts going off. It's like, come on, come on!
It's perfect. He's gonna get a new heart and a new arm and a leg and a new hip and all the things.
Is it bad that that beeper just reminds me of like Outback Steakhouse? Like, remember?
That's what I was thinking too.
The sound of it.
Your table's ready.
Sometimes you just need a bloomin' onion. I loved it because you've got all this like feel good, sentimental shit going on with the kids, and they're like, "What's the most feel good thing we can do with Dan Scott?
Hit him.
We're gonna hit him with an Acura, whatever the fuck.
A Chevy Malibu.
Oh yeah,
just nail him.
God, I loved it. All right, cliffhanger. Who's Lucas gonna pick? Lindsay making the phone call. Here's my analysis. Lindsay called him when she knew that he had a game. She is admitting that she lied to him, that she was seeing someone. Mm-hmm. She is admitting that she does have feelings for him and has just put him in this purgatory for no good reason. And so I think that he definitely should not pick her because she's been kind of toxic. That's my take.
Yeah.
Does that have anything to do with how you might feel for Peyton Sawyer?
All I'm saying is Peyton has made it very clear.
Very clear.
Of the three girls, she's the only one who actually wants him.
Yeah, so, she chooses him.
Yeah, this is true. This is true.
And it's Haley's whole thing. Path of least resistance. Go to the light. Go towards love. Make it easy.
Go to the love.
Go to the love.
Yeah. I don't know. What's your honorable mention, Sov?
Honestly, I think my honorable mention's Lisa Goldstein walking through those falling water balloons.
So
no one's ever looked cooler.
What a great moment.
Right?
Mm-hmm. That was such a great 90s rom-com moment.
I loved every minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great.
What's yours?
What's yours?
I'm running. I mean...
The beeper.
The car hit, like the way that he was hit in that car. I feel like Paul committed so hard to this episode again. He always, they just knew they could give him the craziest material and he would come through.
Yeah.
So, that's going to be it for me.
Loved it. Ooh, honey. You know that I can't wear fancy shoes with a dress. I am a boots and dress woman. So now that festival and concert season are going to be all about boots, Tecovas must be your stop before attending your next concert, you guys. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparels, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. This is so important. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. And the smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to the store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. And find your new favorite pair of boots today.
I spent the first trimester of my pregnancy with Gus in Puerto Rico. And if you're going to be sick and grumpy and tired, it's such a beautiful place. Like, it really fixes a lot.
It really is. I shot a movie there and I shot my first commercial there when I was 14 years old. It was so fun. And I've been back 3 times since then. My cousin used to live there and it's just a fabulous place. I love it.
I learned this word from Gina Rodriguez, who is probably the biggest Puerto Rico fan of all of us. Boricua is the name for someone from Puerto Rico, but it's more than just a name. It's a way of life. It's a representation of the spirit of the island, you know?
The unique Boricua spirit infuses the music and welcoming spirit of the island in Puerto Rico. If you can hear the music, you're invited to the party.
Sometimes it's salsa, sometimes it's plena, sometimes it's reggaeton. No matter what the rhythm is calling to you, when you hear it, it's always time to dance.
All I want to do now is dance with y'all. Let's go.
Well, in Puerto Rico, you can't step outside without hearing music. Puerto Rico has renowned bars and nightlife and a welcoming spirit.
In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are.
No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents.
Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Did you know that it's Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? So I saw that Macy's is highlighting some really cool AAPI-owned brands right now online and in-store.
I love that. For the entire month of May, join Macy's in supporting AAPI-owned fashion brands. I really appreciate that a big brand like Macy's is supporting Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month.
Plus, you can help to support college access and student success when you donate online or round up in-store to AAPI scholarships.
AAPI is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students.
So join us by rounding up your purchase to the nearest dollar at checkout to support AAPI scholars and educational nonprofit.
Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander-owned brands at Macy's.com or in-store.
Do you know that this has been a tradition in my family for many years? My mother used to love pecan sandies from Keebler. She would bring them home and I would find her in the kitchen taking a little nibble on a stressful day. And I love it. I love it so much. I've adopted it myself. I love coming home and just taking a moment to step away from all the daily expectations and enjoy a little Keebler sandy.
Listen, you know I love a snack break, and Keebler Sandies are perfect for that. They are buttery shortbread cookies made with delicious ingredients like cranberries, Joy's favorite pecans, and almonds.
Mm. Each Keebler Sandy shortbread cookie is baked to perfection by the Keebler elves for a light sweetness and a texture that melts in your mouth.
The delicate sweetness, the buttery flavor, the crumbly texture, they make Keebler Sandies the perfect pairing with your coffee or tea.
Whether you're enjoying Keebler Sandies as an afternoon snack, serving them at a party, or simply indulging in some me time, they are a classic shortbread cookie that brings simple pleasure to every bite.
When you need a comforting moment for yourself, Keebler Sandies is the perfect treat that will keep you going.
Next time you feel like you're juggling it all, reach for a Keebler Sandies shortbread cookie and enjoy a simple moment of comfort.
All right, fan question.
Yeah, Ashley wants to know, what is your pit and peak of season 5?
Pit and peak?
Pitt's Nanny Carrie. The pits. I mean, for the character anyway. Peak, I guess right now, like the last episode, Haley seems to be in a good place. She seems to be like getting over her anger with Dan. She seems to be ready to help all her friends. She's doing her music again. Yeah, it seems like she's on the upswing.
Yeah, it was a great song. I loved that song. I loved it when you would sing it live. It's a good song.
Yeah, the beginning of it is so pretty.
Yeah, it was a good one. I didn't write that one, but it was a good song.
I didn't write that, but I guess it was a good song.
But it was okay.
But it was fantastic because we come out of the Dan Scott car hit and it's like Haley holding on to the headphones. Everyone's doing great.
Everyone else is so happy. I think for me, like peak of this season, really just the homecoming of all of us. I loved, I love, you know, despite the fact that we didn't really get to see each other in this episode, like I love Brooke and Peyton being roommates. Because, you know,
we're all doing shit that's so advanced for 22-year-olds. I kind of love that these two 22-year-old girls live in a house together.
Mm-hmm.
I think my, honestly, my pit of season 5 is this stupid fucking haircut.
Oh,
no! I hate
it's
it.
Growing out by this episode. You have been so mad this whole time, and it
I
looks
hate
so cute,
it, you guys. I just really hate it. So yeah, those are mine. What do you got?
My pit for season 5. Fucking Max, the record store guy. What a loser. Yeah. And then my peak for season 5 is Peyton being really clear about who she's into, but also like. Totally fine to just go work. Like, I loved her being on the phone with Mia. Just like, who's this guy that you're talking to? Like, I love the foreshadowing going on in this episode. But like, Peyton just putting her head down, getting her work done, not chasing that dude around, but like being really honest with anyone that asks her what her deal is. I love it. It's less cry. It's like, even though she tears up, it's not such pity party as like when she was younger and it was like, nobody likes me. Everybody leaves.
It's a lot of emotional maturity. It's nice.
Yeah. Her ways punishing people is now throwing water balloons at them instead of.
God bless.
I don't know. Weeping in the graveyard.
In the graveyard. Well, I can't wait to come back for season 6. I just remember the summer between season 5 and season 6 as being my summer of debauchery. And so I love this era. I can't wait to come back. Can't wait.
I'm ready.
I'm excited too.
Ugh. Y'all, I went home while we were filming this episode and just like made out with the dude that was homecoming king the year before I graduated and was just like, yeah, going home does feel cool.
Yeah, man.
I Brooke Davis'd my hometown. I love it.
I love it.
I did that when I was 20 though.
Yeah.
After high school, I went back and like found my 7th grade boyfriend and was like, come here, you.
Yeah.
Let's do this again just for a little while.
Before. I love it. We learned so much this year. all right. Should we spin one final season 5 wheel?
Woo, let's do it.
Wheel of season 5. Da 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 da.
Who is most likely to forget their best friend's birthday? I mean, you guys know that we record these things well before they air. So today is actually Lee Norris's birthday. Have we all sent him a message? We're going to do it right now. Everybody text Lee on 3. Ready?
1, 2, 3.
Happy birthday, Lee!
Buddy.
I'm trying to think. Who forgets birthdays?
I do.
You do?
Yeah. I don't, you know what? You guys' are easy for me because it's the dyscalculia, like, but for whatever reason, maybe just because I've known you for so long and we've been around each other every year for birthdays, for a long time anyway.
Yeah.
But I think because life is so transient and we're always traveling that if I'm not with you consistently during your birthday, the date will start to get muddy or if I remember the date, I don't know what day of the week it is that I'm in.
Yeah.
And so then I will forget. I never know what the actual date is today. I have no idea what today's date is.
If I don't open my calendar app, I don't have any idea what's going on.
Yeah.
And I only know shit from like Facebook or other people telling me. Like I'm stressed.
Is this because the robots have taken over all of our, like we used to know everybody's phone number by heart and now we don't. Is this a byproduct of that, do you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But if we don't celebrate the birthday, does it actually happen? Right? Like, do we get to just stay? I'm perfectly fine.
That's what I've been doing. Just don't celebrate.
Yeah. Just sit right here at this age forever.
Yeah.
Which character? Which character doesn't remember?
Well, you want to know what's funny is I was going to be like, that feels like a very Victoria Davis thing to do, to never know when it's anyone's birthday because she doesn't care. But then my thought was, does Victoria even have friends? So I don't know.
No.
I feel like Victoria would know everyone's birthday, but purposely never say anything to them.
Like, she definitely doesn't remember Brooke's birthday. Remember that sad birthday Brooke had where she was all by herself with a little cupcake?
No, that's
all alone.
Hated it. All right, you guys, next episode, what do we got?
Season 6, episode 1, Touch Me, I'm Going to Scream, part 1.
Ooh.
God, our short titles give me anxiety.
Yeah. I mean, to quote Deb Scott in this episode, it's not porn, it's erotica. Gotta love Deb and Skills. All right, you guys, this was a really fun one.
This Here was we fun, go. Y'all.
Season 6. Giddy up.
Season 6. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening.
Don't forget to leave us a review. You can also follow us on Instagram at DramaQueensOTH.
Or email us at DramaQueens@iHeartRadio.com.
See you next time.
We're all about that high school drama girl, drama girl. All about them high school queens. We'll take you for a ride in our comic girl.
Drama girl.
Cheering for the right team.
Drama queens, drama queens.
Smart girl, rough girl, fashion, but you're tough girl. You could sit with us, girl.
Drama queens, drama queens, drama queens. Drama, drama queens, drama queens.
I know there's a couple folks out there that don't know what they're doing for this summer yet. So we have that solved for you. We figured it out. You are going to go to cheapcaribbean.com to find deals on all your favorite all-inclusive destinations, and you're going to spend your summer in paradise.
Yeah, guys, come on, take a break. You work hard. Everybody's working so hard. Swim up to the bar in Punta Cana or sit with your toes in the sand on the shores of Cancun. You can score an extra $175 off site-wide vacations of 4 nights or more now through June 3rd.
Summer is going to be here before you know it, so do your deal and find vacays in your price range at cheapcaribbean.com. That's cheapcaribbean.com.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene! Gene Fodor!
Gene, what's good?
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.